Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 258, part 2, the conclusion to Fruit. Today is Sunday, September 16th, 2012.
From a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight. It's the voice of hope, it's the voice of peace, it's the voice of every man. From a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need. And there are no guns, no bombs, and no disease, no hungry mouths to feed. From a distance, we are instruments marching in a common plan, playing songs. Playing songs of peace, they're the songs of every man. God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. From a distance, I just cannot comprehend what all this fighting is for. From a distance, there is harmony, and it echoes through the land, and it's the it's the love of loves. It's the heart of every man. It's the hope of hopes. It's the love of loves. This is the song of every man. And God is watching us. God is watching.
No, out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living waters. And let that source of your life come from the Lord. It's the truth in raising little ones up. Raise them up in the way of the Lord. And then when they're old, you know it. But don't use an artificial current. Like they have artificial current. What's an artificial current? That's everybody dressing up in a pinstripe suit. And I was at downtown and I seen these guys down there. And they have the brogans on and the pinstripe suit and the tie with just a certain knot and the two dimples in there, you know, to get them dimpled in there just right. And they have the tie tucked in there just right. And the briefcase and the umbrella and, you know, and the trench coat. And they all look the same. Huh? And that's all right. But don't we try to get people to fit into a mold? Don't we? I always had trouble with that. I could never fit into a mold. And I couldn't even fit myself into a mold after that I was saved. No, God had to do it. And I looked here at Amos and I thought, Lord, this is so much like myself and so many others, a herdsman, a cattle keeper. And throughout all of his book, he speaks of his peasant life. I like to enter into my peasant life before I was saved. My peasant life now. But he talks about the sheep being torn apart by lions, his own experiences. A cart full of sheaves. A cart full of sifted corn. And the plowmen and the vine dressers and the sowers and the reapers and the vines and so on. But he's just himself. He didn't have the golden mouth of some of the other prophets. He doesn't wing it on high like Daniel. Or eagle's wings like in Ezekiel. Or weep like the prophet Jeremiah. But oh, he comes on like fire. And I think an excited Christian. He comes on like an excited Christian. No special form, no regulated form. He says, the Lord shall roar from Zion. That's that lion. And utter his voice from Jerusalem. Jesus. And the inhabitants and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn. And the top of Carmel shall wither. And so in chapter 2, I notice he flings fire at Syria and Gaza. He talks about lightning on Tyrus, and a vial of wrath on Edom, and a sacrifice on Ammon. And he stabs at his foes. But the point I'm making here, he spoke it like a herdsman. He wasn't taught faith. He wasn't taught preaching. He wasn't taught putting a message together, although there is some proof in that. He wasn't taught all these things. He wasn't regimented in it. He didn't go to this school and that school and all over. But like Shamgar, slew the Philistines with an ox goad and not a sword. So does Amos come on like that against the sins of the time. I think the biggest sin of our times right now is unlove. Totally. Wipe out all the rest of them. The AIDS and the whores and the whatever. Wipe them all out. Love is the main ingredient that's lost here. That is the biggest sin of the whole of the age right now, unlove. Totally, if you love me, you'll obey me. What does it cost to obey the Lord? Well, can you put a cost on it? I mean, you're all debtors. We all owe God. Yeah, I think the biggest sin of this whole age, and the Bible says, they'll be persuaded, and when we love one another, they'll say, behold how they love one another. Behold how they restore that brother or that sister. Behold that. Now, I want to become something like that. I need that kind of a message. But anyway, in the light of what I've said here, doesn't it become crystal clear that Amos is an able preacher? Even though he's just a shepherd? Doesn't it? And there was that one occupation that he was given. He was given this occupation. The culturing of the sycamore fig tree. I ministered on that some years ago. Somewhere in that chapter, it calls him the gatherer of the sycamore fruit. A more current revelation of that or translation of that would be bruiser or trainer or preparer of the sycamore fruit. Now, the sycamore fruit is being like a fig, but not as a tasty, okay? Let me get this tool. And the people believed that it would never ripen until it was bruised. Until it was combed by an iron comb. Scratch it. Wound the skin. Unwounded, even when it was ripe, it was too bitter to be eaten. And that's what we have right now. A lot of homegrown. Never been touched by the rake of the Lord. Fruit, it looks good, but it's bitter, and you can't stomach it. You can't eat it. He was wounded for our transgressions. How sweet it is. But anyway, this type of man, this bruiser, this trainer, this preparer of the sycamore fruit, was in demand by his neighbors at certain seasons to bruise the figs so that they might become ripe. Not kill the fruit. Yeah! See this rake that I have here? Not smash it. Not kill its spirit of growing. Oh, there's so much preaching that kills the spirit of growing. You ever been in a house where someone kills the spirit of growing? You shut up and you get back into your room. I'm not talking about that kind of bruising. I'm not talking about that slap on the head till you roll up and touch the wall with your feet up in the air. Not talking about killing that spirit of growing, but bruise it just enough. And so in a vision, especially in line with his occupation, and one suited to his capacity, no hard words, no flowery words or sermons, just the everyday herdsman language. Well, it teaches us this one thing. There is a ripening of men as well as a ripening of summer fruit. Be careful. There is a ripening in holiness. Till we are gathered by the hand of the Lord Jesus at heaven's fruit market. And there's also a ripening in sin. Until we are swept away by the rough hand of death. Cast out like rotten fruit, but once you are firmly planted in the house of the Lord, the courts of the Lord, glory to God. God knows how to, the vineyard, he knows the dresser, he knows exactly how to touch you. He knows exactly how to bruise you, not kill you, not wipe you out, not stab you until you lose all your juices. And so number one, God's purposes have a ripeness. God's times are always on time. He's always right on time. How many know God is right on time? He's not before his time. He's not after his time. Because, see, God is always wise, and he always proves his wisdom, not only by what he does, but by the time when he does it and when it's done. Let's notice a couple of things that great acts of God, and also the ripeness of them, and then we'll be content in whatever situation that we're in. The first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had promised way back to our forefather Adam, and he promised this in the garden, that a mysterious seed of a woman should be born. And he went on and said, she would bruise the serpent's head, and that by many signs he had shown to his people that a Messiah was coming all the way down by many prophets. By many prophets he had spoken, Emmanuel with us, God with us. But for thousands of years he didn't come. Even when great sin was all around, great darkness, where's God? But did it excite the Lord into making a hasty and unwise move? No. And by the way, when he did come, he came for sinners, so there was a whole lot of them by the time he made it here. No, on the other hand, was he late? Never late. Always right on time. You can count on it. You get up in the morning, you know exactly when that sun's going to come up. They can measure it. They can tell you by the second when it's going to come up. God is always on time. He's never late. He's never too early. But he didn't come around for thousands of years, and sin was growing, and there was great darkness upon this earth. Because when the fullness of time was come, the Bible says, God sent his Son, born of a woman, made under the law. You know, when we get to heaven, we'll fully understand God's timetable. Just like you understand your parents and what they did for you right along. Well, you didn't understand it at the time, and it seemed like it was kind of mean and all that, but then you understand now you got your own children. Right? Oh, now I understand. How many times have we questions for God, though? Why not now, God, when we need it? Hey, hey, come on now. Why don't you answer? I prayed, I gave you a time limit. I claimed it, I did everything my teacher told me. Rick, the claw. I spoke the word. That scares me when people say stuff like that. I spoke the word. I went in boldly to the throne rooms of God. I said, listen, according to your word, huh? I mean, I gave you a definite time. I mean, why the bruising? Haven't I suffered enough already? I mean, God, I mean, let me tone it down. I just don't understand. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Why didn't you say that in the first place? But, Lord, why are your chariots so long in coming? Do not the virgins sleep because of your tarrying? Evil questions. The wise as well as the foolish. I mean, Lord. I'll just seek something else for the time being. I'll seek some money. I'll seek friends. I'll seek a wife. I'll seek a husband. Because you see, Lord, you're so slow. I mean, I'll probably die when the promise is fulfilled. I mean, don't a lot of people say, Lord, my Lord delayeth coming, so I'll just beat my fellow servants. Now, I want you people to cheer up, you listening on the radio. God will come on time every time, every time, every time, every time. He'll come right on time. Wasn't he right on time with that machine yesterday? We were over there yesterday at the fruit market that fits right in with this message. Praise God. And they had this potato machine there. It rolls out on rollers, and it's got a little catch in it. And we got this 40,000, 48,000 pounds of potatoes coming. We'll be able to put them under and fill up bags. I mean, they'll roll in there so fast you'll have to have six guys doing it. Wasn't that timely? And there's been literally no fruit and vegetables over there for a couple weeks. And I went to another guy and he said, let me give you 150 or 200 bushels of cucumbers. Would you say that's timely? And I opened up another guy's door and he was irritated. He said, hey, he says, you're about the fourth guy that came in here today. I says, oh, I don't want to ask you for anything, but I'm having this big giveaway. And can I count on you? You can count on me. I says, that's all I wanted to know. Isn't that timely? We never know what God is going to do to the very last minutes, or like the Lone Ranger. The very last minute, we're surrounded. The wagons are in a circle. Arrows they're burning down the sheets over canvases over the wagons. Huh? When are they coming? The cavalry comes in, huh? With the Lone Ranger and Tonto. They got them on again, by the way. Not to get off the subject here, but good clean show. Same scenery all the time, that big rock off to the side. But but they're good. They're exactly a character. He's a character, isn't he? One of God's characters. Nor will he delay getting back on what I'm supposed to be talking about here. Nor will he delay his appearing one moment beyond the proper time. Doesn't the sun come up, like I said, every morning, right on time? One day it says in the Bible, where the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are but as one day. You're gonna get into that yourself once that you're taken to heaven. You'll never have to say, time's a-wasting. No, he shall come, the Bible says, and you shall behold his glory. And we will all be partakers of his splendorous reign. Hallelujah. Even in our personal affairs, he's right on time. His grace called me right on time. In that hour when he looks on us, he looks on us with an eye of love and he says, come. Now, I remember in California when I was born again. I mean, it was just like a drawing. I mean, I had to go up. There's nobody said anything to come to the altar. I didn't even know about coming to the altar. I didn't even know hardly a church. But I found myself coming to the altar. God spoke to me there audibly. I came to that altar. God didn't wait too long. A lot of times, oh, I wish I was saved and I was 3 years old. No, he didn't wait 1 minute too long. You know what? That darkness taught me a great lesson. And so I guess I have to minister to the self-righteous legalists. Did you appoint yourself? I wonder if you'll allow God to even save you. Are you willing to be bruised? Or are you a self-appointed, hardcore bruiser and everyone else is the bruisees? Yes, you say. Yes, you say. I believe that. I believe that. Well, there's a bruising then for your believing. Isn't His grace always sufficient? He didn't come too soon. Do you doubt this? Do you say, oh, my troubles always follow me? And do you say they're not equally distributed, that I have more troubles right in the middle of a battle, I have more problems than anybody else? But you know, the language of faith should be, great God, I leave my times and my seasons in your hands. For well I know, if thou smitest me again and again and again, is that you may multiply your blessings towards me when you bruise me. When you're chosen and when you choose me, you bruise me. That in my manifold trials, I may have manifold blessings. See, if you get to looking at yourself, you don't think that there's blessings, because everything, God is using you to bless. God, when am I going to get blessed? And thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of people can be blessed off of just like a message like this or something like that. Maybe, preacher, you don't have it all that easy. But through your trials, multitudes are being blessed. Oh, maybe people don't agree. Maybe they hate your guts. Some. Beware when all people speak well of you. But just maybe, and I have to say that because there's a questioning going on from the radio audience, you'll have to take a look at the people that you have blessed. Down through your individual ministry. Are you hearing this? Get to looking at how God has used you for blessing people. And don't get so down in the mouth and so negative all the time. You ever been around somebody who's always negative? Lord, they just love to gripe about how the world has treated them. And that's fun once in a while. I get into it 5-6 seconds at a time. No, you rejoice. Because you know why? Deliverance will come, and in its time. I'm not talking negative, I'm talking positive. Haven't they come before when you have not the least little bit of strength left and say, God, this is the end, and they come right on time? To deliver us from that carnal security into which we might have fallen? Or to wake us up from some deadly slumber of indifference which might have destroyed us? And mark this today, every trial comes complete with a deliverance. It's a package deal. When you have a trial, it's a package deal. There's always a deliverance in it. But I want my deliverance right now, you cry out to God. And God will not give it to you. Not until tribulation has had its full perfect work by producing patience. And then the hour of extremity shall be the hour of God's great opportunity. God has the greatest opportunity when you are in very extreme times. He knows when your spirit and your strength is spent and when we are ready to perish. Then the Bible says, then shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing beneath His wings. And so you see, our deliverances from trouble shall always come to us in time enough, but they'll never come too soon. Lest we be proud in our own hearts, I prayed and it happened. No? Pray and wait. And wait. And wait. And wait. And wait. And oh my God, wait! And wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And wait some more. And then again, it might happen before you pray. Are you hearing this today? God, I need to hear it. Whew. How great it is to know that I am in God's hand. I'm closing up here. It's so pleasant to float, along the stream of providence. What a blessed way to live, to trust God, no matter what. We serve a covenant-keeping God. Are you hearing this? I have no fear except to fear God. I'm getting to that. I'm finally coming to that point that I can have no fear except that my fear be of the Lord. Are you hearing this? God has a plan for each one of you in here today, but it does have a blooming time. It does have a time of scarring and scathing so that you'll ripen. We may grow in some things in prosperity, but true ripeness of grace can only be obtained by adversity. Does that sound negative? It is the truth. Our cares and our losses and our crosses and our depressions of spirit, our temptations from outside and from inside, these are all designed for the ripening dispensations. Every one of them. God uses all things. They are making ready and making us ready for the time when Jesus says, "Come, I gather a basket here of summer fruit." Are you hearing this? Even you out there in the world, and I've watched people, and I'll have to say this, even you people out there that are in the deepest so-called look-like deepest problems, you out there with the AIDS, and you out there with the syphilises and the gonorrhea strains that are new, and you out there with drugs out there that are 6,000 times more powerful than crack. Artificial drugs. I remember, you remember the little churches, some 10 or 11 years ago, I said, hey, drugs aren't done. They'll come up with stuff that's so powerful you won't believe it. Because the Bible says in the end, the pharmacy, drugs, will reign. Even you out there that feel like a total misfit, the fermentation of your own depravity in your heart is developing even now. God is fermenting and He's causing something to happen more than even sometimes in the church. But remember, in caution here, Satan is also waiting to bottle you up and put his label on your jug. Turn to Jesus right now and don't let him ripen you for God's wrath. Repent. Don't ripen in sin. Denounce the devil. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because to resemble figs, and we all do that, after that we're touched by the Holy Spirit, we become fit to eat. Not until that you're touched by the Holy Ghost. God wants you right now, if you're listening to me right now. Can I read a psalm here? And this is Psalm, I'll finish. Psalm 1 and 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, which bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." A tree, not a wild tree, but at one considered property, cultivated and secured from that last terrible uprooting. Then it goes on, "For every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." And that's Matthew 15 and 13. Then it goes on in the psalm, "By rivers of waters." So even if one of these rivers should fail, we have another. Rivers of pardon. Rivers of grace, rivers of promise, rivers of communion with Jesus Christ are never failing, always going on, an everlasting supply. And so we are like that tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit, much fruit, it says, in his season. Not unseasonable graces, like the untimely figs, which are never full-flavored, but one that's been touched by the Holy Ghost, one that's been raked. But the man that delights in God's word, being taught by it, bringeth forth patience in time of suffering, faith in the day of trial, and a holy joy in the hour of prosperity. Fruitfulness, I'm saying here, is a quality of a graciousness of man, and that your fruitfulness should be seasonable. It's all in God's time. Don't ruin it. Don't go in there, preachers, and don't go in there, people, and you see somebody, and it doesn't look like they're ripening just right. And you say, well, it looks like this brother needs a lesson. And go in there with your tool, your handmade tool, your rake, and stab on somebody and ruin that fruit. Give it time. There is a season for it. There is a season. Praise the Lord. Nothing but good can come into my life. Because God is in charge. He's in charge of your fruit. Right now, we need to get out there and we need to minister to people and just forget about all the arguing and debating and on how holy we are and all this. It hasn't got a thing to do with it. There's a lot of fruit out there that needs to be touched by the Holy Spirit. And you have to learn how to do that. And you have to learn how to just touch that fruit just right. Don't be too anxious, but pray, oh God, how would you have me to do this? Did you hear this message today? Is there anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? The most important part of the message is gathering fruit. And if you don't do that, well, you might as well just, you're just getting up to preach and to teach. It doesn't have a call. And it doesn't have that summer basket for us to gather the fruit in. Doesn't mean a thing. Nothing. That's what it's all about down here on the north side, is meeting the needs of people. God knows the laborers are few. Well, I've seen that down here, and there is a harvest that's just, I tell you, it's waving in the wind right now, white for the harvest. And you know how people are going to be persuaded? By example, not by, I don't care. Now, you can pass out tracts and you can do all this stuff, but people are brought about when they see love. Even the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I mean, you know, even the golden rule. Even a lot of times the rules in the world are better than Christians' rules, because, you know, a lot of times we just don't keep them. You're listening on the radio right now. We just don't keep. We don't keep. We're not keepers. See, we don't want to get involved in it. See, we don't want to get involved in anything that might hurt us or might make us not look quite like we're so fruitful or ripe and red. Remember, hey, you keep hanging on that tree, you're going to rot. You got to die to yourself. Go into the ground and die that 30 and 60 and 90 comes forth. Amen? 30, 60, 90. You know what I'm saying about? Don't try to preserve yourself. God is the one. You die daily. Your apples fall off and die daily, but there's more seeds that come forth. Is there anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? How about over there? Now, I don't know. Are you born again, sir, and your son? Okay. See, I never knew that. I have to ask. You don't ask. Lord, I want to thank you for this audience that's sitting here today, these wonderful fruits that are sitting here today. Take that right. That are sitting here. All these beautiful people that are here today, the fruit of your harvest. Thank you for them, Lord. Bless each one in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, somebody was going to sing. Were you going to sing?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 258. That was part two to fruit. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those show notes are scripture links. So be sure to check those out. And you can join Pastor Paul's podcast and listen every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. Next Friday's message is titled Crucify Him. So we'll see you back here next Friday. Have a great week. God bless you.
Some say love, it
that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love, it's the